last Sunday. I really do appreciate everybody. Everybody's prayed for us last week in revival. Appreciate everybody praying for us this past week. Pray for the James, and man, I just really enjoyed it.
Brother Kevin, is that an L or a B?
Huh? L.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm from Tennessee. I can preach out of either book. It'll be good. Text will be good out of any book. Joel. J-O-E-L.
Amen.
Praise
the
Lord. Joel, stop. You pray for us today. God, help us. I sure want to be used of the Lord.
Yeah,
we need to hear from heaven today.
Yeah.
I really want to say what the Lord's laid on my heart. I do mean that. I really want to preach.
I woke up this morning. And I told Allison, I said, they're in trouble today. I said, I feel real good. I feel real good.
Praise the Lord.
And I just by myself, just a shouting, and I was having a good time this morning.
Yeah.
God came passing by my way.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Me and the Lord just got to fellowshipping. And I'm glad it's real in my kitchen.
Yep.
Yeah. Glad it's real in my bedroom. Glad it's real going down the road.
Man.
Yes.
I'm glad it's real in Sunday school.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm glad the Lord's real.
Yeah.
I don't have to put on nothing. Matter of fact, most of the time I try
to put a governor on it because I'm afraid I'm gonna scare a bunch of people is what I'm afraid gonna happen. But I don't have to put on. I got something real on the inside that bubbles out. And I ain't got to try to make it happen. I'm glad it does. And it don't take a whole, it don't, listen, I'm going to read scripture in just a second. But it don't have to do a whole lot to do that. Only thing really that's got to happen in my life, I mean, I'm not always setting on go. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you this, it don't take a whole lot for me to get there. Only thing God's got to do is remind me of where I ought to be. And it don't take me too long of realizing that I ought to be burning in hell right now. And the only reason that I'm not is because there's a God in heaven that extended His grace toward me. And my friend, that helps me. Amen. That helps me. Book of Joel chapter 1. I'm going to read 3 or 4 verses. And then you pray, Lord, help us. Verse number 4. Bible says this, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. That which the cankerworm left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Verse 9, the meat offering, the drink offerings cut off from the house of the Lord, and the priests and the Lord's ministers mourn. Verse number 11, be ashamed, O husbandmen, and howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because of the harvest of the field is perished. Verse number 18, how do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate. Last verse I'll read, be verse 12. Bible says this, says the vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree and the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I bow before you one more time. And God, I sure thank you for passing by our way and meeting with us today. And Father, what you've already done for us has been phenomenal. And God, honestly, Lord, I know in an honest heart, and God, by the witness of the Holy Ghost, and it is untelling what you've done for us this morning that we do not even know about. But I pray, Father, still a burning on the inside of our heart, and God, is this text. And I'd ask you for a few minutes of time, and oh God, that you'd help me to preach. Father, I pray as a dying man, preaching to dying men and women. Father, I pray where I stood at already, God, and have confirmation by the Holy Ghost of the message. Father, I pray that you'd help our people. I pray if these folks here and they're lost and undone, might today be that day they get born again and birthed into the family of God. And Father, I certainly pray, oh God, for for those that, Lord, they're just going through the motion, that they've got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And God, they've got a Sunday morning religion, but God, but absent and devoid of a real relationship with you. And Father, I pray that they'd not come under the guilt of man, but I pray they'd come under the grace of God. And Father, I'd ask you that, Lord Jesus, and for a few minutes of time today, and God, that you'd help them to look past all the folks that they've known that's been fakes and frauds. And God, that their eyes and their heart would focus on the one man who is true. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you recorded in the Bible and said, David said in my haste, that all men are liars. But God, I'm glad that you are not. God, I'm glad you're the truth. And Father, if there ever has been truth, it'll proceed from you. I'd ask you one more time today, God, as I've been begging you lately, God, you know it's not just words. It is the burden of my heart. And God, when it comes time to preach, Lord, I want to say the best thing that I ever have said about you. If this is the last time that I ever get to do anything, I sure want to thank you for every good thing you've let me do in the name of Christ. Father, I sure love you. I bless your high and holy name. It's in Christ's name I beg and ask. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to say this. The book of Joel is primarily a book of judgment. It's a book about the days of the Lord. But I like what he said in verse number 3. He said, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. And so in other words, what he tells Joel here, he says, everything that's said, he said, I want you to pass it on day after day after day, and from one generation to the next generation. And you say, preacher, what's he want us to know? Oh, Joel, the man of God, and you hang tight with me, and we'll get there. But I'm going to lay a foundation. Preacher, it'll be short, but the foundation will be a little long. You just hang tight. I'm telling you, the man of God, oh, Joel's just standing where he's standing at, and he's just sort of surveying across the crowd. He's looking all around him, and there's some things that he sees that has concerned his soul. I want you to notice in verse number 4 what he says about this. He says that, that's the palmer worm hath it left, and the locust ate. And what the locust ate, the cankerworm ate. And what the cankerworm ate, he said the caterpillar ate. And the first thing that old Joel sees is that he sees the fields are barren and not much fruit. Amen. In other words, but all right, right there. And so the man of God looks out and he observes over the land and he says, I'll tell you what, there used to be good fruit in this land, but I ain't seeing too much fruit in this day. And that's concerning to it. I'll say this to you today. I would to God, God bring back the days in America's history when the men of God would preach and folks was getting saved by the droves. Amen. But all this, where we stand at today, I mean, it's a looking like our fields are getting pretty barren. Amen. But then I want you to notice this. In verse number 11, the Bible says, be ashamed, O husbandman, hallow vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest field, he said, it is perished. On down in verse number 18, he said, they have no pasture. And the Bible says, and the flocks of sheep are made desolate. In other words, not only does he see the fields are barren, but he sees the family is bankrupt. They've got no means whereby to earn anything. And man, I'm telling you, God's got to deal in my heart. And I thought, if there's one thing that I think as from my perspective, and maybe where I stand, I'm not nobody special, and I'm very much aware of that. But from where I stand, I see a few things that's happening across our land. And one, they don't seem to be too much fruit that's being produced by Christianity. And number two, it looks like our families are almost bankrupt of the presence of God. Amen. I don't know what's happening to our families. I don't know what's going on with it. But what I know is this, all across our land, we have an epidemic. I'm talking about, friend, we have. It's a cancer eating our land. That our families are bankrupt of the truth and of God. Amen. And I want to go on record as saying that. The reason we ain't got a lot of power in the house of God is on account of there ain't too much power at the house. Amen. That's right, thank God. I think that the Spirit of God That ought to change who we are at home first. And that whatever happens at home, that ought to affect the house of God. And the reason, thank God, now listen to me. And I'm going to preach in a minute, all right? I'm just sort of helping us right now. I mean, I am helping us right now. I mean, I want to say this. What's happened in our homes? Yes, thank God this thing ain't for life no more. And we've got an awful lot of errors. I understand. Look here. I came out of the divorced home. If there's anybody knows what that looks like, there's nobody here understands that better probably than I do, all right? But I'm going to say this to you. And I thank God for grace. I thank God for grace. But that is not the plan of God. Amen. And the plan of God, thank God, is to unify a body. And for us, man. And you say, preacher, why is there so many divorces missing the main ingredient? And missing the main ingredient. And missing the main ingredient. And me and my wife was talking this morning. I promise you, I'm going to preach in a second. But this is of the Lord. I promise you that. And me and my wife was talking this morning. And I'm not trying to embarrass her. But Brother Nathaniel, and she said, you reckon I'll just let my hair go gray? And she said, I saw a new wrinkle. And I said, honey, I love every wrinkle you got. Amen. And then I scowled a little bit. And I said, I got them right here. And she said, if I let my hair go gray. And she said, is that going to be all right? And I said, honey, I won't have no hair by then. And that'll be all right too. And could listen to me. And listen, I'm trying to help us right here. And then I'm going to preach. Amen. But I want you to understand something. And the bond that her and I share, it's not based on our outward looks. Amen. Everybody all right there? Thank God. Amen. How could I tell you the main ingredient in our relationship is not in her talking good to me or being good to me? Oh, no, the main ingredient is the thing that it's founded on. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And to thank God, listen, I have found if it's on the right foundation, it can endure a lot of storms. Amen. But if there's no foundation, thank God when those storms come, that's going to tear it away. Amen. I want you to watch what your Bible says. And we find the fields are barren. We find the families are bankrupt. In verse 9, he says this, and the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. And so Joe looks up there, and he says, the fields are barren, and the families are bankrupt. And he said, in the faith, that seems like it's broke. That seems like folks that used to have faith ain't got much faith no more. And to look here, good neighbor, every day there's something that's tearing at our faith. Amen. And this is where the text comes in verse number 12. He finally gets a real good vision. He says, the vine's dried up. He said, the field languisheth, and the pomegranate tree, and the palm tree also, and the apple tree. He said, everything is withered. Now, this is why I've got a King James Bible, because this is the only Bible that it reads the way it reads in verse number 12. He says, because a joy is withered away from the sons of men. And so what he says is this, everything you see is as a result of the joy of men is gone. Amen. And look here, every other Bible, and they treat it the other way. And they say, based on circumstance, that dictates our joy. But that's not the case. Amen. Our joy dictates the circumstance. If God would help me for a few minutes of time, I want to preach on this song. And it's real simple. I want to preach on where'd all the joy go. Amen. And where'd all the joy go, thank God. I mean, listen, you know what makes it? And what I like coming to the house of God? I like it because it's a joyful place. And we sing joyful songs. Amen. I like it because, thank God, that's about the one who done everything for us. And so we come in the house of God. And even though we're talking about something like Calvary, and Calvary's real bad, it's also the source that our joy is in. Amen. I'm asking you this, thank God. Where'd all the joy go? Amen. And now look here, friend, I promise you, if you leave here today, I promise from my heart, and Brother Nathaniel, God knows me, I'll stand the judgment seat of Christ. I ain't shooting at nobody. I'm not against nobody. I'm just going to preach, all right? But I'm going to tell you this. Y'all understand in my unique profession that I'm not a carpenter. I don't know how to build nothing. I don't know how to make nothing. All I know is what drugs are taken, whether good or bad. Thank God I understand tonight. I believe mental health's a real condition. I think there's folks, thank God, and they need help. I understand that. I mean, I believe that, Brother Gary. I believe there's folks in the house of God that need help, and they're ashamed of that. I want you to get help. Amen. I mean, thank God. Listen, I want you to get help. Depression's real, and it's all the way through that Bible. Amen. I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. I have watched, and as joy has left the house of God, and there's been a subsequent increase in folks taking antidepressants and anti-anxiety medicine. How you understand that? Is that all right, Alyssa? Would you agree with that? As some of the other folks in the medical profession, listen, I'm telling you this. How you say, preacher, what happened? Oh, the joy's gone, amen. And we're trying to replace it. I bet you can't get joy out of a chemical, amen. How you never have been able to. How you never have been able to. How you can't get it, thank God. How you can't get it out of a bottle. How you can't get it out of a drug. You can't get it out of an action. Hey, you might get some happiness. Hey, you might get some happiness. I bet you're not going to have no joy. Amen. There's only one source of joy, and it comes from Christ. Amen. And that's where it comes from. And you say, well, preacher, I take medicine. I done told you I'm for you. Thank God. I promise you I'm not against you. But before I'd take something, I believe I'd run to Christ and see if he couldn't help me. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, do folks a lot of good. And I'm going to get in trouble before very long. I understand that. But I'll tell you what, help folks have a lot more joy if they, instead of taking a medication so quickly, how they'd run and repent to God. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I'm telling you, thank God, listen to their day. Instead of getting out of sin and getting right with God and getting our joy restored back to us, we'd rather live in our sin and take something to help us feel better and just keep coming to the house of God. But I'm telling you, friend, that's why there's no joy, amen. Oh, yes, thank God. And Joel stands there and he looks around and he said, where'd all the joy go? This is how he says it. He says it withered away. Everybody smile at me. Is everybody all right there? I realize I probably offended half of you, and that was not my intention. Amen. I can't stress that enough. But I'm telling you this, thank God. It do us all good. I mean, look here. If you've got a serotonin problem, go get it fixed. Amen. I mean, go get that thing fixed, thank God. But if you've got a sin problem, you can go to every doctor, and they'll never solve it. Amen. That's right. And you'll take one pill, and then you'll come back in a month, and you'll say, this ain't working. And they'll give you something else, and that won't work. And then they'll give you something else, and that won't work. Because your problem sometimes ain't a mind problem. It's a heart problem. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. And when you get that heart fixed, all of a sudden that mind will follow behind it. Amen. That's right. Listen to me. I know we're going to get someplace happy, but it might take us a little while. All right. This is what he said. He said, thank God, where'd all the joy go? He said, joy is withered away from the sons of men. And so I thought about this. I thought, Jesse, about different ways that your joy can disappear. I thought some folks, thank God, and they just lost it. Amen. I mean, they lost it. And they were taken captive at Psalm 137. And they took them up there and they said, by the rivers of Babylon. And there we sat down. And yea, we wept as we remembered Zion. And that's in a bad way. Because somebody come in and they stole their joy. But I thought about this. There's a lot of folks, thank God, that they didn't get their joy stole. And thank God they gave it away. Amen. And they're like Esau. Oh, Esau said over there, Miss Irene, Esau had the birthright. He had a double portion of the goodness of his dad. But oh, Bill, one day he got hungry and he let his passion of his flesh override the goodness of God. And so he traded a lasting joy for a temporary feeling. Hey, you know what's happening a lot of places? And now look up here and listen to me. I mean, it's going to be preaching time. I'm going to preach this morning. You cannot be shacked up. I say you're a Christian and convince me you got joy. Amen. I don't care. Listen, I don't care who's doing it. I don't care how popular it's become. Hey, listen, I got three boys. I tell my three boys the same thing. Hey, you can't go out and be living like the world and then come in here and have joy, amen. And that's why it shows up on you. And you come in the house of God. And listen, everybody understand this. I am for you, amen. But when I stand right here and I preach about that's stealing your joy, people look at me like I'm their enemy. No, I'm trying to help you, amen. I'm trying to help you have something that's lasting, amen. That's something, thank God, that when you get up on Monday, you don't have any regrets, and you don't have any headaches, and you don't have any hangovers, because it's real, amen. Oh, yeah, some people, they've lost it. Some people, they gave it away. Some people, thank God. Listen, the devil came in and stole it. It was like old David. They were sitting there, and they were comfortable in their house. And they looked one time, they saw a lady named Bathsheba. And some people lost it in their comfort. And some people lost it in their circumstance. And some people, thank God, lost it in compromise. Hey, some Naomis that just said, hey, man, they was happy, Brother Keith. And they was in the house of God. It was a time, the joy of God. That's in their life. But then they traded up everything God had, and they went to Moab. And they said, hey, I believe I'll go be happy in Moab. And they went down to Moab, and they got their belly full, but their joy was gone, amen. And their heart was empty, amen. And you say, preacher, how'd they get it fixed back? And they went back to the house of God, and they got things fixed up, amen. I'm simply saying this, where'd all the joy go, amen? How many of you look across the room in the house of God? Y'all, if you're in this church very long, I say it all the time. I say it about every place I go when I'm preaching most of the time, and it may be me, all right? I mean, a fair disclosure. Ricky, it may be the way I preach, but I know this, a lot of times I'm preaching that folks look like they've been sucking on lemons for about all morning long, amen. And I don't understand. I don't understand, thank God. I mean, listen, I remember days. Look here, I'm being honest with you. I remember days in the house of God when everybody was smiling, amen. When everybody had joy in their heart. I remember being in here, and there's been times, and that there's been some folks, thank God, and that it's the longer, I hope God will remind you of those bygone days in your life, and there was joy in your heart, and you did look forward to what God had to say, and you was interested in the things of God. And I don't know what happened in your life. I don't know if it was a tragedy. I don't know if it was a trial. I don't know if it was a temptation. But what I do know is this, that somewhere along the way, thank God that joy has been lost, amen. And just as sure as joy shows up on you, and so does the absence of it, amen. And if God will help me today, I'm going to preach and it won't be long. I know you can't handle too much of this preaching, amen. And that's the only joy some of you got this morning, thank God. But I'm going to preach for just a minute, and I want to say this. This will help your marriage. It'll help your relationship. It'll help, but that's not my aim. My aim is to help your relationship between you and God. Amen. And Brother John, this is what he says. This is what Joel said about it. And Joel didn't say they lost their joy. And Joel didn't say they gave their joy away. And Joel didn't say their joy was stolen. And what Joel said was, it withered up. Amen. And now look here, you say, what happens? That means it's not something that happens overnight. That's a process. Hey, you used to have something, and little by little, it dries up until you can remember when you used to have it, but you know you ain't got it now, amen. And you say, oh, preacher, how does that happen? I'm going to give you three things and I'm done. And number one, I want you to listen to me real carefully. And I'm listening. I really do mean this. And Brother Kyle, I don't say stuff like this. I don't deal in sensationalism or none of that nonsense. That's not where I live, Brother Christian. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, I put this in my heart. I just say it just like I'm saying it. And I want you to hear me today. And what happens, the way we have our joy just sort of withers away as there begins to be neglect where there used to be nearness. Amen. Oh, you listen to me, thank God. Allison, come on up here, honey. I'm going to need you to help me for a minute. I mean, listen, there is neglect where there used to be nearness. Whenever there's good joy, I don't feel comfortable touching nobody else. If you're a lady in this church, thank God, ladies shake ladies' hands. Men shake men's hands. Ain't that right? Ain't that how that works? I mean, we shake everybody's hands. But there's only one lady that I love on, all right? And it's this one right here. This one is mine. I mean, we've been walking together for a mighty long time now. I mean, listen, thank God. I'm talking about way back yonder in May at 2004. We've crossed through trials, how we've crossed through bridges, how we've lost babies, we've had hard times, have been through sicknesses, have been through ailments. When they said through sickness and in health, Brother Bill, I thank God I meant it, and so did she. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, hey, listen, if there's any one person in this church I'm liable to neglect, it's this lady right here. Oh, hear me today, friend. I got to thinking about what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2. That there was a time they held Christ near. But one time they got up there in the temple. And as they was in the temple, and they got their sight off of Christ, and they got it on the crowd. And the Bible says, supposing he would have been in the journey. And thank God they went a day's journey without him. I'm going to tell you what brings real joy. That's whenever there's real closeness. And you can walk with Christ like I'm walking with my wife. I ain't got to scream at my wife in order to fellowship with her right now. I ain't got to holler at her. Hey, listen, thank God. I ain't got to try to find her. Her hand's in mine and mine's in hers. I'm going to say this, friend. I thank God when it comes time to serve God. And listen, what a joy it is to put your hand in the hand of God's hand and just... Hallelujah, just walk with him. Oh, just walk with him. And just go with him. And let God set the pace. And let God set the place. And wherever God goes, and just walk with him. Amen. It don't matter, Brother Kim. It don't matter if it's through thorns. It don't matter if it's through valleys. And wherever God leads, and just keep him real close. Amen. And here's what happens. And far too long. And boy, I'll say, listen. I've been walking with God a pretty good while. I mean, listen, I ain't trying to hurt my wife's little hand either. Yeah, but you understand, I'm a squeezing her tight. That's what I've done to my boys. That's what you do to Wally. And whenever Wally's trying to walk, you squeeze his hand tight. But then we get a little too comfortable. And we just get sort of used to walking together. And I think, man, you know, there used to be something in this hand. And I don't know what happened to it. I don't know, unless I used to. And then I'm trying to find my wife. I say, man alive, how did such distance get between us? And right here, I've got a decision to make. I mean, right here, I've got a decision to make. And right here, I've got a decision to make. And I can either say, man, I miss that sweet fellowship. I miss that hand in mine. I miss the nearness and the dearness of that relationship. I can just keep on going and say, she'll be fine. And she'll be there when I get back. That boy, God will take care of her. And it won't be too long, Brother Toddy. And you'll go down the road. And I'm going to look up here at me. I'm preaching, amen. But I want to tell you what will happen if you ain't real careful. While you're way down yonder, the devil will send somebody else. And they'll come on this side. And they'll say, hey, you're awful pretty, amen. And that fellow over there is neglecting you. That fellow over there don't care nothing about you. I'd take better care of you than he would. And now listen, look here. And that heart, is that all right? Y'all right up there? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, brother. I'm going to tell you, thank God. And the last thing I want to happen is for that to happen between me and this lady right here. And there's times there ain't always joy. But when we get things right with God, and Brother Rod, there is joy. I'm going to say this. I want you to listen to me. It's that same way walking with Christ. Hey, you get over here and you say, well, listen, she's not God, but that's all I got right now. And we'll say, oh, he'll be there when I get back. And the church will be there when I'm ready to come back. And God will help me. And when I'm ready to get right, I just ain't ready right now. I'll tell you what you might find out. Hey, you might find out just like Esau did. And the Bible says he sought for a place of repentance and he found it not. And though he sought it carefully with tears, amen. And you say, what happened, preacher? He went too far, amen. He went too far. And you say, oh, preacher. And you say, can you go too far? I'll guarantee it. I'll guarantee it. You can go too far. And then the next question is, have I gone too far? I don't think anybody in the house of God that's trying to get help has went too far for the grace of God. Amen. Oh, listen. I'm talking about I don't know where you stand. And listen, Keith, I've told this 1,000 times. I got saved on July 2nd, 1988, Julie. Marvelously, wonderfully, and gloriously saved. And until I got out of fellowship with God. And now I'm going to tell you this, I didn't get saved again on the June 1999. And but Chase, I felt so dirty and being away from God. And then honestly, I looked at it and I said, hey, man, I remember what I used to have. I remember what I used to feel. I remember the joy that used to be there. And I thought, I don't even know if he'll have me anymore. I don't even know if he wants me no more. And boy, and I came that day, thank God. And the lesson, I bowed down and I found out he was waiting on me. Amen. I've got good news, thank God. And Luke 15 still in the Bible. He'll still leave the 99 and go after the one. Amen. Oh, yes. And so I'm simply saying this to you today. And there becomes neglect where there used to be nearness. Husbands and wives alike. I pray you'll give me heed this morning. And do not neglect your marriage. And do not neglect it. I'm going to need a little more help. Davis, Evan, Owen, y'all all come up here. I'm going to need all my family to come walk with me for a minute. I ain't trying to be weirdo, all right? I ain't trying to be weird. And if it's your first time in the church, I don't do stuff like this every time. I ain't trying to be no weirdo. But I promise you, look here. And God gave me 3 boys. He gave me this boy. He gave me this boy. And he gave me this boy right here. And he did not give them to me for me to turn around and give them to the world. Amen. No. No, 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 no. He didn't give them to me, thank God. And for me to just give them to anybody. I know daddies are like, I've got little girls, I want a good boy for them. If you're a godless Jezebel, you can stay away from my boys, amen.
Yeah.
God gave them to me. God gave them to me. This right here is a place I got good joy at. And to look here, sometimes, son, I ain't trying to be weird. But this fella right here, he's my first one. And we've walked together a lot, Cat. He rides with me a lot of times. But then I notice he's been sometimes, as he's gotten a little bigger, Mary, he don't like stuff like this. It's what he used to love, what he used to enjoy. Oh, it embarrasses him now. I'm going to tell you, thank God, listen, it might not never be the same. I remember when he used to crawl up in my lap and lay his head down on my chest. And he'd say, I love you, Daddy. And boy, and I'd just wrap him up in my arms, amen. But as he begins to grow up a little bit, there becomes some distance. And I don't like that distance. And then came Evan along. And the boy, and we got to walk together. And we get to fellowship together. And we get to fish together. And I don't like no distance, amen. And you say, brother, what do you do? I'll come in, I'll wrap them around. I'll say, hey, how's that thing going between y'all and God right now? I'll ask my boys, say, how's that Bible reading going? How's that praying going? How's church going? And you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to keep my whole little place right here. And so I don't neglect them, amen. I thank God, listen, I didn't have kids, thank God. And so my neighbor could raise them. I didn't have kids, amen. And so I could send them down the road and let MTV in the public school. I teach them every wrong thing while I don't teach them nothing right. Amen. 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 And so, young, go sit down. You can't. You stay. One of these days, you two go sit down. It'll be just like that. They're going to go their way. He's going to go his way. He's going to go his way. Still going to be me and her. Listen, I'm not trying to make it about my marriage. Brother Dustin, what I'm trying to say, there's going to be a day, you and Kayla and them 3 little sweet girls, you ain't always going to be with me. I wish God would let it that way. I'm honest with you. I don't never want you to wonder how I feel about you. I love you with all my heart. But there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day that God's going to reassign Dustin and he's going to go somewhere else. Joe, there's going to be a day God's going to reassign you. as much as I love you, and I love your wife, I love your baby. Brother Creston, listen, if I don't have to explain myself to you. You know I love you. As a lot of people maybe don't know it, but you know it, thank God.
Yeah.
There may be a day.
Yeah.
Come here, praise God.
Yeah, yeah.
There may be a day that God reassigns him somewhere else. But I'm going to tell you, me and God's going to keep walking the same way we've been walking. And if they can take God and they can go walk with him right where he's at, on account of he's a mighty big God. Amen. But Dustin, if you decide you ain't going to walk with him, Creston, you decide you ain't going to, and Joe, you decide you ain't going to, I'm still going to. I may not never get this. Am I all right? Y'all give me some more time. I know I preached a while, but I still feel the Holy Ghost helping me. Number one, there's neglect where there used to be some nearness. And I'm going to tell you, thank God, you better be real, real careful. Here's what I want to say to you next. There's routine where there used to be revival. When I look over the church and I get to praying about, man, why does it seem like so much joy is gone? And so many people that used to have joy. I mean, I'm talking about Kagan, where there used to be red hot revival. It's because they was working, Mary, to keep that joy there. And then if we're not careful, Shelby, we start settling down in a routine. And one of the worst things you can ever do for joy is to let go of revival and settle down for routine. Can I say this? Hey, Cindy, can I say this about revival? Revival takes work from everybody. And the only thing that has to happen for revival to stop is for folks to quit working to have it. And thank God, the moment you quit trying to have revival, you'll settle down in a routine. And when you settle down in a routine, I'm telling you, joy will be gone. Amen. I really need the Lord to help me. And I'm saying this to you. Me and my wife, this is how, could I give y'all some dating advice? Is this, could I say this? I got a bunch of young men and young women in here. Could I give you some dating advice?
Yeah.
Don't do it. It ain't in the Bible.
Amen.
Everybody liked that, didn't they? Say, preacher, how am I supposed to find one? I'll tell you, if you want to find the right one, right there. And you sit down on that place, and you say, God, send me somebody. And I'll promise you he'll do it. And it'll be right when he does. Y'all, is everybody okay? I ain't trying to kill the service right here. I'm trying to preach. And I'm going to say this. Whenever me and Allison first started talking, she cooked dinner for me one night, so, and I wanted to go eat dinner. She was a pretty good cook, and I liked it a lot. Then the next week, I thought, I'll do that again on a Saturday night. Next week, you say, preacher, I thought you just said we ain't supposed to date. I didn't know no better. Is that okay? Some of y'all didn't know no better either. Is that right or not right? Don't act like you've always known everything in the Bible. That's why we grow in this thing. And you say, brother, I ain't there yet. That's why I'm not against you. Listen, if you're dating somebody, I'm not against you. I'm for you. I want it to be right. Now, I want to say this. Whenever me and Allison go, there's a time I went on Saturday nights, and then there's a time I like to every day I'd start going over there after it was over with. And then there's a time I start thinking, I don't want to leave. Then what do you do then? You don't spend the night. You get married.
Amen. Sure. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Hang tight. I'm saying this. I loved it. That first year, Tony, I'd come in, I'd tell my wife, I'd say, man, that's the best. I loved it. And I'd kiss her in the morning before I'd go to work, Gavin. The first thing I'd do when I got home, I'd wrap her up in my arms. Listen, and I loved it. You know what happened in my life? Routine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We're not spring chickens no more. Routine gets in on it. And now all of a sudden I just expect there to be food every night. Somebody smile at me on that, would you? I feel like two-thirds of the church is mad. And I promise you, I'm trying to help you. And all of a sudden, routine replaced that red hot revival we had. You say, preacher, what do you do? I'll tell you what me and my wife do. Sometimes, Brother Chase, we just say, hey, we're going to have to go away for a while. We'll have to get away from kids. We'll have to get away from everybody. We're going to have to remember why we loved each other. You know what I'm doing? I'm having a two-day revival. That's what I'm doing. Then all of a sudden, she ain't changed. I ain't changed. But all of a sudden, she looks different. I know I am, but I feel like I'm watching my words fall right out in front of me right now. I'm going to say this to you. You remember when you first got saved and you came in the house of God? That red hot revival. You remember that? You remember that revival that was in your heart about the Lord? When God first started doing something for your life, and how you couldn't wait to testify. You couldn't wait to get in the house of God. Couldn't wait to shout her down. Couldn't wait to sing. Couldn't wait till the next service. Then you've been saved a while. Now all of a sudden routine has placed revival. Brother Kevin's going to sit there. Brother Josh is going to sit there. Sister Kelsey's going to sit there. The youth choir is going to sing three songs. Brother Donnie's going to lead us. Going to have some announcements. Brother Kevin's going to preach. In the middle of it, he's going to make everybody mad. We're all going to go home, and some of us are going to come back, and some of us ain't. And it don't matter how good it is, some of us ain't coming back. And it don't matter how bad it is, some of us ain't coming back. And again, some people can't come back, and I understand that, but some people can. And instead of that revival, we go to the routine where we're going to go to the Mexican restaurant, and we're going to go to the same place we always eat on Sunday, and we're going to go lay down about the same time we lay down. And come football season, we're going to turn on the same channel we turn on. And we're in a routine. And we say, man, I don't know why there ain't no joy. I don't know why there ain't no joy here. I don't know why. Where'd all the joy go? We killed it with routine. We killed it with neglect. Let me say this last thing. I'm not even going to turn there. I got a whole bunch of proof texts, as Brother Josh England would say. I ain't even going to turn there. I'm going to give you this last thing. Numbers chapter 11. You can look there sometime. You know what's a real killer of joy? It's where there used to be gratitude, and now there's grumbling. Oh my. I mean, I'm talking about coming in the house of God, and God help me. Coming in the house of God. When I first got right with God, Jess, there wasn't nothing wrong with nobody else. I was just glad not to have to go to hell. I didn't even know there was problems with people. I tell everybody this, and I mean it. I say this in the honest of hearts. I preached 3 years before I realized some people didn't like preachers. I preached for 5 before I realized preachers didn't like preachers. I didn't even know it. I thought everybody was for everybody. I thought that Christians were for Christians, and that all Christians were for Christ. And I was thankful for it. And I mean it. I was thankful. And my prayers, Mom, I was thankful. And I was thankful for my boys, thankful for my wife, thankful for my church. And I'm going to tell you very simply why joy is missing across our land and in our churches. We're living in the most unthankful generation that there ever has been. We complain and grumble about everything, and we have no gratitude about anything. We have no gratitude. And so we come in the house of God, and what we used to be thankful for, now we complain about. It's too hot in there. It's too cold in there. It's too loud in there. It's too bright in there. It's too quiet in there. Service is too long. They're too much against us.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Kevin says too much about sports.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all know why I preach so much about sports? Everybody know this? Could I help you? That is the idol of America today.
Amen.
No question.
Amen.
Followed real closely by that dollar bill in your back pocket.
Amen.
So I'm going to preach again it.
Yep.
I believe Moses would preach again it.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is, me and you may be the only two, you don't even look happy anymore. I'm just kidding. I'm asking you this in an honest heart. If there's no joy in your home, maybe it's because there's no more gratitude and just a lot of grumbling. That murmuring becomes contagious.
Yeah.
Better be careful who you sit next to. You sit next to the wrong people in church, you'll start murmuring just like they do. Sometimes, I don't know how y'all, listen, I promise you, I'm about done. I'm about done. But I'm being honest. Sometimes I have to set all three of my boys down and we have to have a family meeting. And I have to remind them that the attitudes in our home needs to improve toward each other. Toward their mama,
yes,
toward their daddy,
yes,
toward their God.
Amen. Yes,
sir. And sometimes in the house of God, the Holy Ghost has to come by to my way and say, Kevin, your stinking attitude needs to change. You've complained every day this week about something. And those same things you're complaining about now, you used to be thankful for them. And I say, man, I wonder why there's no joy. No joy. Joel stood up there. Honey, you can sit down. I'm done preaching. Joel stood up there that day, and he looked over the crowd, and he said, the joy's withered. Joy's withered. Joy's just dried up. Stand to your feet. I'm asking an honest heart before God today. If you got joy in your life, it's where it's supposed to be. Thank God for it. Let's pray for somebody else. But if you're absent of that joy, you are missing that in your life. Alyssa, come play. Come play softly.